This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. Tom Rockman's debut, the New York Times bestselling The Imperfectionist, was a novel in stories. Each chapter told a different character in the news business at a time of journalistic tumult. Rockman was a foreign correspondent for the Associated Press stationed in Rome, then an editor at the International Herald Tribune in Paris. His new novel out now, The Imposters, spotlights a different writer per chapter, set in our moment of cultural tumult. A stand-up comedy writer in L.A., a delivery driver hired to write fake news in London, a pretentious Brooklyn author struggling through a literary festival in Australia. At the center, in all ways, is Dora Frenhofer, a once successful novelist who knows her mind is going and is determined to finish her final book and reverse her fortunes. The plot stops in New Delhi, New York, Copenhagen, Los Angeles, Syria, to Paris, inhabiting the perspectives of Dora's missing brother, her estranged daughter, a lover, and her last remaining friend. Alone in her London home during the pandemic, Dora creates and is in turn created by the characters from her own life. Happy to have Tom Rockman join me here on Speaking of Writers. Tom, welcome to this program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So what inspired you to write this novel?
Well, I suppose that I was thinking a lot about the place of writers in a time when we're suddenly able to speak, almost all of us. And the effect of that has been good and bad. The good is that, of course, anyone theoretically has a voice. But the bad is that there are billions of voices shouting for attention simultaneously. And I found myself wondering, for obvious professional reasons, quite where the place was for literary fiction at a time like this. Because what literary fiction isn't the loudest voice necessarily. It's a sort of more considered voice where you're thinking hard about life and experience and trying to weave a story that requires a certain amount of concerted attention on the part of the reader. And that is exactly what the culture is fraying at the moment, making it so much harder to pay attention to anything. I was speaking just to a good friend of mine today who, being a kind friend, had gone out and bought my book and had told me how eager he was to read it. And he confessed to me that he's been reading it and enjoying it, but struggling to pay attention because he keeps getting pinged on his phone. And I think that's just the experience of anybody, including a good reader like him, who has every reason to read it. If not just because I will never forgive him if he doesn't. But no, it's one of those things where nobody can quite escape this distraction that we're all facing all the time. And I'm not quite sure where writing fits in all of that. And I wanted then to discuss that in a novel itself. And I tend to use novels in part to try to figure out what I'm thinking and put it in an engaging story form, but also to work out what I think about what's going on in my head.
Tom, what's the primary challenge in writing a novel like this with a different writer each chapter?
I think the primary challenge is making it all hang together as a novel. It's something that I tried to do with my first book, which you mentioned in the introduction, The Imperfectionist, where, again, you have different characters in each chapter. But I like the idea of, because I love both short stories and the novel, I have always been curious about ways that one can weave the qualities of the two together. So the satisfaction in a short story of being able to sit down and in one go absorb the whole tale from start to finish and sit with that and consider it all, but then at the same time have an ongoing story that follows you over the course of days or weeks that you're reading the book and builds over time. So that was always my goal, and was my goal again with this novel. But of course, the challenge is, how do you get readers completely drawn into the single story with those characters and then suddenly cast aside those characters, move on to the next story, and yet somehow convince the readers that this is one novel, this is not just a collection of stories? And so that's always something of a challenge. But it's a challenge that I think I hope to set in a satisfying way for the reader as well, that there's often, I think often when you read my books, that you read along and hopefully are drawn in, but also are thinking quite what is what is happening here? Where is this going? And there are little clues along the way, and then gradually you figure out what the idea of the book is.
Let's talk character here. At the center of this book, The Imposters, Dora Frenhofer. Tom, how did you create her? And what's Dora like?
Well, Dora is a rather difficult but talented writer who is in her mid-70s, and she's had a long career in writing and a long career of independence. And the two have been closely linked, and she has tended to shun people and push them away. Well, when she was younger and quite charming and impressive person, she put her writing aspirations above all else and pushed people aside to some degree. And she had a career of sorts at that stage that made it all seem worthwhile. But the point at which you first meet her, her career is in tatters. Nobody reads her books anymore. And she's living with the consequences of having been so single-minded and somewhat cold to those in her personal life, and really putting all of her humanity into the characters and into the stories. And she's a woman who is looking back over her life and realizing that those she was closest with were perhaps her own characters. And she's trying to I wouldn't quite say make amends, but she's trying to reckon with what she was and what she created and what it all amounts to. And that's Dora. And I suppose that the reason I chose her and the way that I developed the character is that I chose, first of all, somebody who fascinated me, somebody who seemed extremely complex and difficult in ways, somebody who maybe would be hard to get along with in person, but who was intriguing to know, and whose inner life drew me. And that's always the goal for me when I'm picking a leading character for a book. It has to be somebody that I want to really ponder and study in a way for 2 or 3 years that I'll be writing that book. And she was just such a character.
Did this leading character, Dora, come to you first, or did the story come to you?
It's hard to say the order, because I feel like the two come together and they develop together. So both the story and the character begin in embryonic form, and there must be something in both the story and the character that excites you enough to think you want to pursue this. You want to spend time writing notes and falling asleep thinking about it. And then as you start to write down drafts, or as I do anyway, then the character and the story come to life, and the character begins to act in particular ways that animate the story, and the story then animates the character, and you start to see what that person does in these difficult circumstances. And gradually, when new difficult circumstances arise, you know exactly what they'll do because of how you've developed that character. So it's one ends up building the other, and over the course of revisions and drafts, then you become clearer and clearer. The story becomes indelible, and the responses of the character become certain in your mind, so that in principle one could add a whole situation or circumstance and you would know exactly what that person would do. And at that point you've got the character.
Let's talk about sense of place. As I mentioned, the plot stops in New Delhi, New York, Copenhagen, Los Angeles, Syria to Paris. Why those places?
Well, my books have always leapt all around the world, maybe because I have myself. I've been very, I've lived in lots of different places, and I'm very interested in the world and seeing different cultures, maybe because I never felt entirely certain about which mine was. And I think that I have traveled when I was younger, maybe in part to try to find quite what my place was. But then as I grew older, I traveled with the understanding that I didn't quite have a place, and that was perfectly all right, that I would enjoy different cultures and take little bits from each that I admired and respected, and not quite add them to myself, but make them a part of my own experience. And so over the course of it, I've tended to write characters who are similarly international and flung about and not quite sure where they fit. And while that reflects me, it's also an element, a way to have deeply unique characters, because they're affected by what happened to them, but they're also something above. There's something floating above it, so that any society that they're a part of, they're also not a part of, and they have to somehow define themselves. I'm interested in those kinds of people in life, and I write those kinds of people too. And in this book, the reason that it went to those particular places was because they were places that I knew where that I could set scenes in, and I haven't ever been to Syria, so that's an exception to it. But the most of the other locations were ones that I've spent time in, or they were cultural worlds that I was interested in, and so was keen to research. And I had been doing a lot of research and reading about Syria and about the war there, and so that ended up leaking into the book too.
Tom, going into a project like this, do you have a mental, and I know you mentioned notes earlier, and written checklist as to what you want to include in a book?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to take or develop, I would say, quite extensive notes. So I start off with just a sketch of what I'm interested in, and then I fill it out with more and more and more and more notes so that they're expanding like mad. And I do that almost as a way to avoid the anxiety of actually starting writing. So I just allow the ideas to percolate and the notes to fill up. And then at a certain point, I'm becoming anxious in a different way, anxious to get started, to actually make something of this and try to write it. And I have, you know, maybe 100 pages just of notes about everything that's gone, maybe more. And that's really how I begin. Obviously, not all of it ends up making it in there, but quite a lot of it does. And that which doesn't is still important because it informs the characters off the page. I think it's always important to have a much deeper sense of your characters than will appear in the final version. So I would always, for example, do things like write the life history and the family relations and so on, and the cultural and national context of different things that are going on. Those would be included in my notes too, but I probably wouldn't include 95% of that. It's just that it is helpful, and it makes what is there feel a lot more authentic because it is somehow more rooted in real information rather than just in fantasy.
Tom, where do your ideas come from?
I don't know. I suppose from experience, from watching people in situations and wondering what is really happening. I think that one of the great powers of literature is access to the inner life. And I was a journalist and still do some journalism. And that's all about the outer life, really. It's about what happens in public and what happens in large settings, large ways. But it doesn't have access to the inner world. And I'm fascinated by that. I'm very interested in psychology and in people's thoughts and in the parts of their lives that they conceal, and in people who aren't necessarily newsmakers, but are, let's say, victims of news. And so I feel like literature is a way to access all of that. And that's something that I'm fascinated to do in writing.
Did you always know that you were a pretty good storyteller?
No, I'm not sure I am. I'm not sure that I was. I certainly never thought of myself particularly that way. I do remember one girlfriend when I was a teenager, and for some reason I used to just invent stories for her. And at that point, when I heard myself going on and on, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I can just come up with things sometimes. But I never particularly considered it some gift or anything. I think that I was excited by the way that other people could tell stories, and I was ambitious enough to want to try it myself. You know, if you see other people doing marvelous things over and over, you can't help, if you're a certain sort of person, develop an itch to give it a go yourself. And that's exactly what I was like, especially when younger. So I just tried, and I don't think that my early stories were any good at all, but they were exciting enough for me to do that I decided I had to do more.
What genres do you enjoy reading?
Well, I probably enjoy almost exclusively, when it comes to fiction, literary fiction. I like the idea of literary detective fiction and stuff like that, but I never find myself able to get too far in those books, because I always feel like they're too formulaic, and in the end, I can kind of sense where they're going. Whereas what I like about literary fiction is that I can't, if it's a good book, ever sense where it's going. And that's part of the suspense and excitement of it. And then I think I've been very, very impressed by certain science fiction books and science fiction tales. But I'm so rooted in realist fiction that that's really much more my interest. I want to know what people are like more than aliens. So I'm impressed by lots of other genre, but I tend to read literary fiction, and then lots of nonfiction too. But I if we're just talking about fiction, it would be literary.
And what is next for you and your writing?
I don't really know. If I did know, I wouldn't tell you anyway, because I tend to be very secretive about ongoing projects. Because I find that if I have an idea, I don't feel confident or certain enough of it until it's pretty far along. So I really, really want to work on it, take those notes, fill them out for days and weeks and months, and start to write. And even then, I wouldn't feel confident. I would want to be well into a late draft before I discussed it. And I might not even discuss it until I had the book in the hands of a publisher. I think that it's something that it's an insecurity that I retain, that I maybe shouldn't, but that I developed very, very early when I was trying to write, because I felt like I was always on the verge of humiliating myself and doing terrible junk that I would show people, and I would be proven to be useless. And I was so afraid of that I didn't want to expose myself to anything until I felt I had something really valid and valuable, that I was in a way so refined and so polished and so revised that it didn't even feel quite like me anymore. It felt just like an object that I had built up over a long time. And at that point, I felt just enough courage to show it to people. And somehow I've maintained that same practice, though I think I feel a bit more confident now than I did back then. But I suspect that a lot of writers develop habits early on and then stick to them if they end up leading to a published book. You think, well, maybe I should just keep doing that.
Tom Rockman, the book out now is The Imposters. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Steve.
And this is Speaking of Writers.